Sam Hogar, aka the Alaskan Assassin, was one of the original members of the Ultimate Fighter, and the last time we saw him in an MMA ring was in April of 2007, fighting for the IFL. So we wanted to catch up with him and see what he's been up to since then. And Sam, thank you so much for joining us. And like I said, you fought Vernon White in the IFL in April of 2007. What have you been up to since then, and when should we expect to see you fighting again?
Since 2007, I've come down to Houston, and I've opened up the Militich Fighting Systems Houston branch. It's going really well. I mean, I opened it up about 3-4 months ago, and we've grown to about almost 100 students, and we're looking to continue this growth. You know, I have a great team that I work with. You know, Alex Lopera, John Cho, and Yun, we all get together, and I mean, you know, you put our minds together, and it just seems like great things have been happening.
So are you focusing more on the training and training other fighters and students as opposed to fighting nowadays?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm focusing on building this up as much as possible so we can create the champions down south just like we have the champions up north.
So have you retired from fighting, or are you still looking to fight?
No, I'm always looking to fight. I mean, that's in my blood. I'm just waiting for the right deal, because right now my main focus is to do what Pat sent me here to do.
You know, the last time, as I mentioned, you were in the IFL as a one-shot appearance. Did you ever have any discussions with them as they continue to grow to sign a potential long-term deal fighting for the International Fight League?
You know, we've talked a little bit, but I mean, nothing substantial has seemed to have come of it, because my manager does all the talking for me in reference to, you know, contracts and other agreements such as those. I don't tend to spend much time, you know, roaching through contracts. I mean, that's it's unprofessional.
What do you think is the biggest difference in terms of your mindset day to day? You know, now you're trying to train other fighters, trying to build up their careers, as opposed to training yourself. You know, what's the biggest difference there? And also, which do you enjoy more? I mean, there's some people who just love being teachers, and some that, you know, enjoy being a student.
To be completely honest with you, I enjoy both sides of the game for different reasons. I mean, I enjoy the teaching side of the game and the business side of the game, because I have a mind that's, you know, real business savvy. It seems I'm pretty good with, you know, building up a product and, you know, delivering the product that I tend to put out there. And I enjoy the fighting side of the game, because, you know, it allows me to live on the edge and do the things that, you know, bring a lot of happiness to me. Because whenever you're in there fighting, there's no other thing that makes you feel more alive. Business is quite ABC. I mean, you put the product out there, you know, you present it to people who enjoy it, and then after that you give them what they expect, you know. But fighting is not so linear, I guess you could say. Fighting tends to be much more explosive, much more diversified. You never know what's coming at you, for lack of a better way to put it, so you have to try to prepare for, you know, everything and anything, whereas day-to-day in business is pretty predictable.
So now you're working with the Militich Fighting Systems. Is the eventual goal to someday, you know, have your own kind of team and your own kind of gym, you know, down in the future?
No, I mean, this is my team. This is my gym that I'm a part of, you know. So, I mean, my goal is simply to build it up as much as possible and build myself up as a trainer under Militich, because, I mean, that is who trained me. I'm not going to be some type of, like, you know, shady, secondhand, ungrateful prick who's going to be out there saying that, you know, I never got my tools from who I got them from. I'm always going to give credit to those who've given me what I have in order to build on top of.
You know, looking at your resume, so to speak, you fought a lot of big names and picked up your first official UFC bout, a win over Bobby Southworth, who's the light heavyweight champion in Strikeforce. Any chance that we'd possibly see a rematch between you guys under their promotion?
If the money's right, yeah. If it's worth my time, definitely. If not, I mean, it's a waste of my time, so no.
Have they approached you about that fight?
You know, I've had some people, I've had some offers thrown at me by my manager, but it's all been pretty low end. So, I mean, it doesn't catch my attention at all.
Sam, the first time, I guess, the mainstream public heard about you was on The Ultimate Fighter, and now you've had several years to kind of...
No, that wasn't the first time they heard of me.
Well, no, I mean the mainstream public. I mean, when you first came on the scene, a lot of those guys, even the Forrest Griffins of the world, weren't known by the Joe Schmo, you know, martial arts fan. That really was the show, in my opinion, that kind of catapulted the UFC and, you know, the 16 members of that show to the forefront. I was just wondering, you know, now that you've kind of removed yourself, was that a positive experience for you, The Ultimate Fighter? Is it something that you were proud to be a part of and were able to learn things from?
Well, I've never denied that. I mean, you know, thanks to the efforts of Dana and all the people at the UFC, that it, you know, that the sport has reached the ranking that it has and the public spectatorship that it has. But I mean, fact of the matter is, I mean, that show was a intense experience, just given the fact that you are constantly competing in that show. So I mean, you've got to constantly be having your mind running at 1,000 miles an hour in order for you to compete, you know, in every regard of every day with everybody. I'm glad that I was on the show with a bunch of people who who were, I don't know how can I put this best, who were fun to be around, to say the very least.
That's what you're, I mean, obviously you were a focus of a little bit of controversy on the show, and that's kind of old news at this point, but do you still keep in touch with any of those guys that you were?
Oh, yeah. I still talk to Diego. I still talk occasionally. I still talk to Rafferty whenever I see him, Schoenauer. I see Forrest every time I go to Vegas. He's still a turd. Now, that's a fight I would do for $5. If they offer me a fight with Forrest Griffin, I'd fight him for $2. As much as we get along now that we don't live with each other, that is one fight that I would take at any point in time.
Why is that? Why is that?
I don't feel like that fight is over because I felt it got stopped way too early. I was still ready to fight, still going good, and John McCarthy jumped in and stopped the fight.
While you were under the UFC umbrella, did you ever ask, you know, the matchmakers there, Joe Silva, Dana White?
Every single day, that's all I would ask for. At the end of every fight, win, lose, or draw, whatever, I would ask for that fight.
What did they say to you?
Huh? They'd say, you know, if it happens, it happens. You know, the same thing. It's a business for them. You know, if there's not enough public interest in the fight, it's not going to, you know, come to fruition.
No, sorry, go ahead.
There has to be enough public interest in, being that that fight didn't, you know, generate that level of public interest. That fight, of course, didn't happen.
You seem to be, you know, in the UFC, you have to, and in MMA, you have to obviously carve a personality for yourself. You can't just be this bland guy because, like you said, people have to be interested in you. And for better or worse, you seem to be a lightning rod. People either love you or they hate you. You know, coming off of The Ultimate Fighter, you generate a lot of fans. And, you know, some people who didn't think that your actions on the show were positive in some lights. Was that
something? No, I mean, I'll tell you, that was all for TV, and, you know, I enjoyed it a lot. But, I mean, now, I mean, my mind is no longer on having to entertain the public. I don't have to be like the rest of the fighters out there, for the most part, who tend to have to work to put something out there in order for people to attach to it. The one thing that I wanted, I mean, out of that whole experience was simply to put something out there that people wouldn't forget, you know? That was it. I really wanted to just imprint myself in the minds of other people, and I got what I wanted from them. So now that I got what I wanted, my next goal is to be rich. I mean, I'll be 100% honest with you. My next goal is to get as much money as I possibly can. And, I mean, good to those who are still out there fighting, trying to establish themselves in the minds of other people, but I've already done that. I mean, so it's old news to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. Do you feel as though you can achieve those goals of becoming rich in the world of mixed martial arts? I mean, sure, the sport is growing.
No, honestly, in the world of mixed martial arts, you're a slave. It doesn't matter if you fight for the biggest organization or the smallest one. If you are a fighter in the world of mixed martial arts, you are slave to the organization you work for. I mean, that's the way it works out. And the way it works out for slaves is the good, you know, the ones who are able to bring the organization attention will get to taste small ends of those riches. The ones who don't, I mean, they'll be cast away into the trash like old something you put in a garbage disposal. I mean, to be 100% honest with you, I mean, no. I mean, the world of the only reason you fight is because in your heart there's something inside of you that tells you you want to fight. If that is not inside you, then don't do it. Because, I mean, in all honesty, right now, my whole goal is to make as much money as possible. I mean, now that I'm done fighting, I'm purely a capitalist in every sense of the word.
So that said, would you ever be interested in, you know, running your own promotion? I mean, trying to fix the way...
I do have my own promotion here in Texas, the Raw Uncut Fights. It's going really well. I'm looking to have another promotion that's going to start up here as soon as we get through all this craziness over here in Texas with the commission. If not, I'm going to open it and probably start in Louisiana. It'll be the Extreme Cage Gladiators. So, I mean, I'm a couple steps ahead of you there. I'm on top of that's all I work to do right now.
And your last fight in the UFC was just this past February. How did you leave? How did you leave off with those guys? Did you leave on good terms? Poor terms?
Oh yeah, yeah, we're on great terms. I talk with, I talk with Joe Silva occasionally. I talk with Sean Shelby. You know, I don't talk with Dana much because Dana's extremely busy, and we didn't really develop much of a relationship. I mean, for the most part, yeah, I mean, I like the guy because everything he's ever told me has been true. That's the one thing I got to give to him. Every single little thing that guy has said and every word that has left his mouth in reference to, our talkings, et cetera, has been 120% true. So, I mean, I respect people who can speak the truth even if it hurts.
And the HDNet Fights is a new promotion in your backyard now that you've mm-hmm. moved to Texas. Obviously, you say that you're focused on making the most amount of money and whatnot. Have you ever spoken to them, not so much for competing, but maybe something, in the front office? Guy Mesker is a former UFC fighter. He's doing a great job over there. Is that something you'd be interested in?
Like I said, I'm not in the mood to work for anybody. I work for myself. I mean, I'm nobody's slave. That's what it comes down to. And as a fighter, that's the one thing I hated. It's just being somebody else's slave tied to a white piece of paper that you have to sign your name on. But right now, no. I mean, I work for myself. I make good money. I don't want to say too much. And it's a much better, it's a much more enjoyable existence now that I've, lived out all that fighting, And should the right deal come about that, helps me reach a significant portion of my goal, then I'll consider it. But if not, you can take your $30,000 and $40,000 and $50,000 fights and stuff them because it doesn't do much for me.
Sam, we talk to a lot of MMA fighters every single day, and it's very, I appreciate you being so honest because a lot of guys are just almost so excited to just be there, to make the big time. And clearly you've sort of figured out the economics of the sport. Did you have a specific bad experience that kind of turned you off on this? Because, obviously...
No. I mean, let there be no questions asked. I love the sport. I mean, the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, I need to be a millionaire. I don't need to be some average Joe sitting there, banging my body to the, to the verge of death, causing brain damage and God knows what else, in order for me to go ahead and entertain the general public while I work for the equivalent of loaves of bread. I mean, let's be honest here. My goal, would not be attained if I would sit there in the ranks of these fighting. And, all these fighters who sit out there, they make me sick, who sit out there talking about these dreams that they have that, oh, we're going to make millions of dollars one day. It's right around the corner. Once we go mainstream, it's like, look, sucker, my work made you mainstream. You're not making millions of dollars. You will not get paid like baseball players get paid. You will not get paid like football players get paid. If this is not inside your soul and not something that really fulfills you, you're a sucker. That's all you are. It's a sucker. You might as well have taken up boxing.
What do you mean when you say my work made you mainstream? Are you referring to The Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah, of course. I was a piece of that work that turned us all mainstream in this sport. And after we did, you still don't see it. People thought paydays in Japan were much better, but they're not.
All right, Sam.
They weren't.
No, go ahead.
No, when you saw when Fedor came over here and they finally, released the pay scale that he had received in Las Vegas, it was no more than $100,000, what does that have to say when you're the number one guy in a particular sport and all you can claim for your activities is $100,000? I mean, God, is that not embarrassing?
So I guess it's safe to say in the whole Randy Couture-Dana White battle, you're siding with Randy on this one.
Not so much that I'm siding with Randy. I'm siding with the common sense and general public here that, there's a lot more that could be expected. And the fact of the matter is that we have guys over here who are willing to go ahead and, like I said, let me reiterate this one more time. If it's inside of you, it's a good thing. If you feel you have something to accomplish, it's a good thing. If you want to do it because you love what you're doing, it's a good thing. But the second you have to concern yourself with the bills, or the second you have to concern yourself with attaining a certain monetary goal or hoping that somebody has an IRA plan for you at the end of the road, you better think again. You're gonna be equivalent to the bull that fought hard and thinks it's going to be living in the pasture at the end of it, but the fact of the matter is you're going to end up in a meat factory on a chopping block. So depends where you stand.
Sam, I appreciate you taking the time and being so honest with us, and continued success training with your new promotions, and if we ever see you back in a ring or a cage again, best of luck to you. Thanks so much.
All righty. Thank you.